This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is the second part of Mohawk Industries' second quarter earnings conference call. As we join this call, we will be in the Q&A session. Questions will be answered by Jeff Lorberbaum, Mohawk Industries Chairman and CEO, and also by Frank Boykin, Mohawk's Chief Financial Officer.
Your next question comes from the line of Laura Champagne with Morgan Keegan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
By buying Columbia, I think you now have a high single-digit percentage share in the wood business, but typically your preference has been to operate at closer to 30% share. I mean, should I look at the Columbia acquisition as completing what you need to do in hardwood, or are you still looking at that segment for potential acquisitions?
Our goal is to have a large share of the wood business. We believe this is a big second step. One was we've been selling product for the last few years. This will give us a vertically integrated position. The capacity is underutilized significantly, which will allow us to participate and grow the business in the category with the assets that we own. Other alternatives could be to look at other higher-end businesses. They participate in more of the medium to lower price product categories, so there's still opportunities in the higher-end category that we haven't covered at this point, other than from a distribution standpoint.
Your next question comes from the line of John Baugh with Stifel Nicolaus.
Thank you. Good morning, and let me be the first to say good job. really tough environment. Can we drill down on Mohawk Division 5.4% EBIT? That's certainly low relative to your standards for the seasonally second quarter. How much, if you can break it out to some degree, is under absorption? How much was the raw material increase versus the relief you got in pricing? Because I know that lags. And any other factors in there? Or put another way, you know, how do we look at EBIT margins in the second half of that year in light of the fact that, you know, the year-over-year declines in revenue should lessen with what happened a year ago, you've got pricing more in place, et cetera?
I think that our internal expectations are for the margins to improve as we go through the year, that unless we get some big surprises, we're expecting the margins to go up from here. We have more controls over our SG&A costs and more controls over our sampling. We did significant drops of product in the first half, trying to get the business more balanced with the present conditions that are going on. So, I mean, our internal pieces, without giving you the exact number, are to show improvement as we go through the year.
And is commercial, which I know is performing better, but is commercial within the carpet segment showing year-over-year gains in profit margins in carpet? Is it flat? Is it down less than what residential's down?
The commercial business, as you look at it, we believe the industry is flat to down a little bit in units, and that most of the growth is going into the modular category, so that the broadloom piece is, some of the broadloom is being shifted to modular. So depending upon your mix of each of the pieces as you go through, you're going to end up with a different answer. Our modular piece is less than the industry average. We're growing it over the past year. We are growing it, and we continue to grow it, and we think it's got a lot of potential to grow even more. And we're putting more investments into new backs, new capacities, new product categories as we go through. And so we think that it has an opportunity to grow much faster than the piece.
Your next question comes from the line of Shaheen Shaheen with Mohawk Industries.
I want to congratulate you on the great job that you're doing. Where are the Columbia plants located in this country?
They have plants in Holden, well, most of them are in West Virginia, Arkansas, and then one plant in Malaysia.
How do you see the wood business completing the total business of laminate, the carpet, tile, and so on?
The wood business is the last category that we have that we aren't vertically integrated, so it gives us a vertically integrated position. We see that there are synergies between it and all the various other parts of the business in broadening out our offering to all the various customers, that in many cases we think that we can market and merchandise the wood in conjunction with our laminate business, which is why we put it under the Unilin operating business in the United States. And then on the long term, we see that wood looks like it's at least the pre-finished wood is going to continue to grow at fairly strong rates once we get through the cyclical downturn.
Will it have the click feature that the patented Unilin feature in it as well? Are you planning on that?
Today, the click systems in wood are being utilized. They're still a small part of the total wood business in the industry, but they are growing, and we do license other options to other companies to sell wood as well.
Your next question comes from the line of Chris Vannins with Wachovia Securities.
Just wondering if you could quantify or maybe give us a better idea of Unilin's top-line growth, like domestically versus that of Europe, ex FX gains?
Most of the growth in the quarter was in the European business. If you look at the laminate business, it's all sold through the residential business, which is under great pressure in the industry. We don't have any industry numbers to know exactly what the U.S. industry is growing, but we know that all the pieces are under great pressure, and our belief is that they're all negative, and we're not sure whether laminate is flat or negative a little bit or up a little bit. We don't have any data, but it's going to be impacted by the same pieces.
Okay. And then if you could just comment a little bit, maybe give us a little bit more color on how business trended in the quarter on some of the major product categories, i.e. something like carpet, you know, ceramic tile, and maybe laminate. If you saw any differences from the beginning of the quarter towards the end, you know, that kind of stuff.
In the carpet side, some of it was obfuscated by the price increase. When we announce price increases, you get a lift of some people who try to buy ahead of it. So it's difficult how to interpret that into the long-term trends till after it flows through, which will take us a little bit more time to have a clear view of it. The other businesses, I think, I think that we're expecting them to be better in the second half, but we're still waiting to see, and we're hoping that they're going to be better, but we really don't have any clear indications of that at this moment.
And your next question comes from the line of Stephen East with Pally Capital.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Jeff, going back to John's question on the Mohawk raw materials, if you look at about a 250 basis point drop in op margins, how much of that would you all characterize between under absorption versus last year and increased raw materials versus last year?
We don't have those numbers in front of us. The raw materials were going up, and so that did impact it. You have all kinds of changes. Not only do you have those, you have the mix shift from different product categories. You have a degrading of the quality that's going on. You have the pressure on as you would suspect, there's more pressure on the low to medium price points of the category. There is a change in products as nylon staple has declined, moving to other categories. You have polyester as the values increase. Polyester is growing. You have polypropylene that's tending to play in a narrower range of products than it has historically. So you have not only the industry conditions, you have a dramatic shift in the mix of products that are being sold through the industry, all impacting the pieces. At the same time, we more aggressively dropped products during the first half in the carpet industry, and we pushed those through the discounting of pieces to move the various products as you go through. We think we put in place management techniques to manage the sampling expenses better as we go into the second half and keep those versus historical more in line. And we're managing through the industry cycle as best we can.
Okay. If you just had to look at it from a gut perspective and say, all right, throwing mix into the equation, you know, we're down, we've got mix, we've got raw material costs, we've got, you know, underabsorbed overhead, et cetera. How would you sort of rank order those as the most important impacts year over year?
I think I would give the unabsorbed overheads would be the most significant one. I would put some of the cost pressures of either pricing or mix. I mean, they're all pricing, mix, promotions of the whole industry is probably the second piece altogether, and a litany of others.
You have a follow-up question from the line of David McGregor with Longbow Research.
Yes, just a couple of quick things. You had talked about the 4-6% price increase in the carpet segment. You did allude to pricing initiatives in Dow, but you didn't quantify those for us. Can you give us a sense of what it was you were pursuing and what you think your traction was?
It was the price increase in Dow that we actually initiated was on selected products. It wasn't across all the various product categories, so I would assume it is limited in the total. Maybe 1%, because you have to average it out across all the pieces. But in the Dow tile side, we a large part of the costs that go up are because of the weight and the transportation, and we have surcharges that we add to the product that we started, you know, some time ago when the transportation costs started going up and energy costs, and so each period we recalculate how those do, and those allow us to pass through the changes in a lot of the costs outside the price increases.
You also have a follow-up question from the line of John Ball with Stifel Nicolaus.
Yeah, the follow-up is basically when you look at the pricing environment that we're in today in the wood category, what do you think, what's your long-range thesis on wood pricing as we look at imports, the engineered versus solids? I understand solids are under a lot of pressure. And how does that affect your strategy with Columbia or anything else that you're going to be doing?
The solid wood category first is you have the unfinished marketplace, which is flat and will probably continue declining as a proportion of the total business play. That piece we will still not participate in on a going forward basis. So most you have a lot of pressure in it because there's no differentiation and it's sold as a commodity. We believe that the solid wood piece that is pre-finished will hold its own, maybe grow a little bit, but not most, and most of the growth will be in the engineered category on a going forward basis, which we think we're well positioned to participate in, both from a U.S. manufacturing point as well as from an offshore manufacturing point, and we continue to purchase products from other suppliers where it makes sense around the world.
Thank you. We have reached the allotted time for questions and answers. Are there any closing remarks?
We're in a difficult cyclical environment that the business, we tend to end up with pent-up demand as we go through these cycles. We don't have any indication of when the cycle's going to end, but as historical, it will end, and we think we'll be well-positioned as we move on to the next stage of the economy and environment. Thank you for joining us at our second quarter conference call.
You've been listening to excerpts of Mohawk Industries' second quarter earnings conference call. Featured in this call, Jeff Lorberbaum, Mohawk's chairman and CEO, and Frank Boykin, Mohawk Industries' chief financial officer. This is Floor Radio.